Today on Real Life Radio.
Church has never been this late before. For all of us. You and I are living this moment today, and we've never been this far down the calendar of time. And yet everything that's going on in the world around us speaks to us, if you know your Bible, of the Lord's return and of the end time events getting ready to be launched upon the world scene. It's quite amazing.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Are you looking for clear answers to end times prophecy? A topic often clouded by confusion, the end times question can be challenging, even for seasoned believers. That's why best-selling authors and hosts of the Prophecy Pros podcast, Jeff Kindley and Todd Hampson, have written The Prophecy Pros Illustrated Guide to Tough Questions About the End Times. This user-friendly guide is our current featured resource and is packed with charts, timelines, and infographics that deliver answers to future events like the rapture, the second coming of Christ, and life in heaven. So as you grow in your knowledge of God's plan for the future, your trust in Him will transform you and inspire you to face the future without worry or fear. With all that's happening in this world today, this book helps you easily understand how all this fits into Bible prophecy. The Prophecy Pros Illustrated Guide to Tough Questions About the End Times is available for a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. On today's very special edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now with his message called In the Days of Deception, Part 3. Now, this is a message we're breaking to as we take a biblical look at recent global events in light of increasing deception. You see, even true believers can be deceived. It's why the Bible is so important. It exposes deception and tells you what to do with it. Deception is so dangerous that it can lead to eternal separation from God. Today, Pastor Jack teaches that with the magnitude and level of deception these days, only God and the Bible can be our true defense. What the Christian knows for sure is that the Bible is our source of information regardless of time and space and will never, ever be wrong. Now with his special message called In the Days of Deception, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
So Father, give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us, the church. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Put your eyes to the screens, if you would.
Well, I became a UFO expert, but not on purpose. I was an amateur astronomer before I became a professional astronomer. So every university where I served, they said, you have to handle all the UFO reports. So, and about 99% of what people would report to me as UFOs, I could explain as natural phenomena, a hoax, or secret government military activity. But there's a 1% residual that falls in a different category. And these would be UFO phenomena that observers report violating the laws of physics. On the other hand, they leave evidence indicating that they're real phenomena. And that, I think, explains why you have a lot of scientists and skeptics saying, this doesn't exist, because they come from a worldview that doesn't permit the existence of non-physical reality. But as a Christian, as a believer in the inerrancy of the Bible, I do believe in the existence of non-physical reality, because the Bible tells us God created two different species of intelligent life, one that's constrained by the physics of the universe and one that is not. And we're talking about humans that are indeed constrained by the dimensions and laws of physics of the universe, and angels who are not. And these angels live in a different dimensional realm, but God has given them the power to come in temporarily into our realm.
Well, the voice of Hugh Ross, valuable to where we're going today. Church, let's all stand together, and we're going to do our part three of our series titled In the Days of Deception. As we pointed out last time, in part one of our series, the word deceived in the Greek language means this: whatever causes you to wander. Think of that. To go astray. The word means to be led away or to become misguided. Some sort of, some sort of information given to you, planted, read, taken in, pondered, considered. Deception is everywhere, but you and I are supposed to be responsible enough to test everything that we hear. Church family, listen. It is absolutely incumbent upon you as a believer. You own a Bible. And if you don't, listen, even if you're an atheist and you don't own a Bible, you still have access to the entire Bible free on your device. Everybody does around the world, the Bible. And the Bible is the book that exposes deception, tells you how to see it, tells you how to smell it, tells you what to do with it. Deception is so dangerous that according to God, the Old Testament prophets that when somebody prophesied wrong or in error, they were to be what? Stoned, put to death. Why? Such an extreme response? Because they would speak falsehood in the name of religious authority and thereby leading souls away. Here's the reason why we should care. To an eternal destination apart from Christ. It's not that somebody misled you or deceived you. It's that the end is eternal destruction, deception. And according to the Bible, all of that is true. I love what Hugh Ross said, that we as Christians, even though we may be astrophysicists, we believe in the creation of God, that there is the physical material universe and there is the immaterial universe, that God created both of those entities. And he relegated it simply down to us and angels. And that's a good place to start. So we're going to be talking about some pretty heavy stuff. By the way, if you are not here for part one and part two, you're going to be at a great disadvantage today, seriously. You're going to need to study those two and then get into this one, or it will make better sense if you do. But it's heavy stuff. And remember how this was all birthed, you guys. Last month, the United States Congress held a hearing, and now that is continuing. I say continuing. We now know a lot that is happened since those hearings, but we responded. I responded to you and to what was out there, and that is people were saying, talking all around the world, oh my gosh, there's aliens, and some of them have landed, and they splashed in the water, and they've got body parts, and all this stuff that's coming out in Congress, and it's happening right now. And I thought, oh, that's just gonna blow over, until I started hearing some pastors talk about it and tell us things like, don't worry, these are creatures that haven't fallen. That's why they're so amazing. They haven't fallen like we have. They're still sinless. We're the ones that sinned. We can't do what they can do. And so maybe they're here to help us. When I heard that, I just flipped my lid. I just thought, that's it. So pause on Romans for a moment. We got to dive in and answer crazy before it took a stronghold. And so to lighten it up a little bit, I don't know if this lightens it up at all, come to think about it, but we intermingled with you, rightfully so, what the Bible says, what's going on in the world around us, what history taught and teaches, and what is being observed in our universe today, or at least reported to be observed, and certainly the fact of artificial intelligence, which is increasing, by the way. And I'm having to deal with artificial intelligence now. I don't know if you are, but I have been sent or given things that are AI. And I don't appreciate it, to be honest with you. When somebody sends something, one of the first dead giveaways is that there is no way that a human being can write a sentence or a paragraph that perfect. It feels funny. It's too perfect. The grammar is perfect. The word usage is perfect. And you know it's wrong. It's beautiful, but it's not normal. You can feel it, that human side of it. We are flawed creatures, and yet we operate in a world that's flawed, but we can relate to flawed. I'm flawed, you're flawed, we're all flawed. But yet we can relate to each other. So this is to lighten it up. Go ahead and take a look at this painting. It's that just sold for $10,000. $10,000. You know who painted it? A computer painted it. AI did this. It's the first time an AI painting has been sold. AI is being used now in all kinds of areas. We'll touch on that more as we get into this, but again, to lighten it up, I've got some responses from some friends that I'm in a huge pastor's text thread, and here's what I got. So first one's from San Diego. I can't read them all, but excellent word, Jack, these last two Sundays. Now I've got to bone up on what and how to tell my flock so that they are prepared for these coming days. I appreciate that. That's a nice answer. Here's another one from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Brother, you said things that I've always thought of and understood from Scripture when I read the Bible for itself on its own, but just could not bring myself to ever addressing it in a message publicly. I'm gonna preach it now and blame you for it later. That's great. Here's one from a brother on our thread from Des Moines, Iowa. You mentioned how the ancient Hebrew scholars viewed Genesis chapter 6 as well as other rabbinical teachings. I found it fascinating to learn that most of the early church fathers also taught that the daughters of men and the sons of God were an unholy, unnatural union. It is an unsettling fact that what you said is true. Jesus said it's gonna be like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, like the days of Noah. Well, brother, that would certainly explain a lot about where we're at today and where we're heading. And then one brother from Hawaii said, the best one, brah, better you than me. I love that. Thanks to Dr. J. Vernon McGee, who tells the story, and I quote, of a little boy who loved going over to visit his grandparents' house, which he did just about every day. To him, their house was like walking into a museum filled with answers. The little boy would ask about Papa's war medals. He'd ask about the black and white photos of a much younger Mimi and Papa taken on some tropical beach far away. It was like he was walking through time itself, and he loved every step of it. As normal, at 12 o'clock, every noon hour, that little boy loved to go and stand before the massive grandfather's clock in the hallway. The sound of it filled the house, and so he stood there counting out the chimes, feeling each vibration against his chest. 1, 2, 3, the sound of it was imposing. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, the clock just kept chiming until he took off running, shocked and being a bit scared, shouted, Mimi, Papa, it's never been this late before. And I love that. Church has never been this late before for all of us. You and I are living this moment today, and we've never been this far down the calendar of time. And yet everything that's going on in the world around us speaks to us, if you know your Bible, of the Lord's return and of the end time events getting ready to be launched upon the world scene. It's quite amazing. Preface all of this today with words of comfort. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. You guys know it well here at this church. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be shaken. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or dwelling places, and if it were not so, I would have told you. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I love that. That's the rapture verse, and I hope it happens today. If it doesn't, this is what we're supposed to do next. Matthew 28:19. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. That means teach them the Bible. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, or behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And all God's people said, amen to that. You well know that the nature of biblical revelation, that is the Bible, is relevant always. God's prophetic word is always relevant to its age or to eternity itself. And I've told you before, and I'll say it again, well over 25% of your Bible that you can hold in your hand is committed to future events. Bible's never been wrong. It will never be wrong. God gave it.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
And so with an incredible magnitude and level of deception breaking loose in our world around us today, some of it we're dealing with where it's, we would call it benign. It's not benign. No deception is innocent. Don't get me wrong. But there's deception that you and I've got to put up with. So here's one right now. So if you get a cold right now, apparently you better go get tested. I got news for you. If you get a cold, don't get tested. You can go to CVS and get your own private test, but don't run to your doctor and give them numbers to put up on CNN and shut us down again, because that's what's coming. The new, the election variant of COVID is loose now. It's loose and it's coming. Listen, that's part of a benign deception. I say benign, we all hate it, but that's benign compared to the scale of what we're talking about, where our Congress is investigating actual bona fide scientific evidence by military equipment and International Airline Pilots Association of actual strange sightings and phenomenons that are now being called UAPs. Unidentified anomalies or atmospheric changes seems like every week. That A keeps changing. The only thing that doesn't change is the acronym, the letter U, unidentified. Unidentified was atmospheric phenomenon. Then it was unidentified alien phenomenon. And now it's anomalies. Unidentified anomalies. Well, whatever it is, we're looking at the days of deception. And this is what we saw last time. And that is this: what does every Christ follower know for sure? And this, from this point one and point two, generated a lot of interesting emotions among people, because I got reports from people, and some of the people just flat out came up and told me, which was fascinating. But reminding all of you this about this very important fact: in the 21st century, what you're looking at in the Bible and where you and I live right now are in complete harmony. Start writing these down. Number one, we saw this before, but by way of review, John 13:19, Jesus answered this and said, "Now I tell you before it comes," or before it happens, "that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am." Look at your Bible. The word "he" is an italicized font. It's because the word "he" doesn't appear in the original Greek language. Jesus simply said, "Now I tell you before it comes to pass that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am." It's the name of God, the ego eimi. The King James translators dropped in "he" to help you understand what was being said. But it's even stronger if you go with the original Greek language. Jesus is announcing, "I'm telling you the future in advance because I'm the one. I know it." Isaiah 46:9-10, you remember this? "For I am God and there is no other. I am God, there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done." That's what Jesus just said. And then secondly, last time we saw in the days of deception is what has the world observed in times past? And this is where everybody got the creeps. And a warning was sent out. Well, that's because a warning was sent out by Jesus back in probably about 35 AD, when in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 26, Jesus said, regarding the disciples asking him about the last days and the end of the world, what's it going to be like? Now listen, if you're not a believer today, by the way, you have no idea how it excites me to find out that if you're that you're here or you're watching and you're not a believer. That it just gives me so excited. Because when I read what I'm about to read to you, these statements, this passage is 2,000 years old. And yet it's already ahead of tomorrow's headlines. You got to figure that out all on your own. Luke 17:26, "And so it was in the days of Noah," Jesus says. You guys want to know what it's going to be like right before I come back? It's going to be like it was in the days of Noah. Well, that implies that either A, the audience then knew what the days of Noah were like, and they did. They're a bunch of Jews. They knew their scriptures. But Jesus is also requiring that every generation should know about the days of Noah. What was it like when Noah lived? So will it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Life seemed to be going somewhat normal. We just focused on doing this thing. One foot in front of the other, status quo, things continue as they are, but all of a sudden, Noah and his family got inside the ark. Think about the church today, maybe this church today, warning, preaching, teaching, announcing, and the culture can either receive it or not. That's not up to us. I don't care about that. We're just supposed to proclaim truth. What the world does with it is their business. Imagine us getting inside of our ark, so to speak, and before the great flood. Well, in this case, the Lord's going to come and receive his people up and out of here. And so to speak, the door will be closed. But Jesus said, watch for it. It's going to be like the days of Noah. And the book of Genesis tells us that the days of Noah, the earth was full of violence. And it suggests also that what they did was extreme, bizarre sexual exploits. Unusual. Unnatural. Verse 28, he says, likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Jesus said, even so it will be in the day when the Son of Man, speaking of himself, is revealed. So you stop right now as a skeptic and you ask yourself this question. Are the days leaning toward, as it was in the days of Noah, violence, evil? The Bible says that men's imaginations were evil continuously. His imaginations, that's not her or his porn time on the screen. It's in the mind continually. God looks down from heaven. He sees the depravity of man. As it was in the days of Noah, Jesus said, it's going to be like that when I return. And this time together is too short, but I highly recommend that you do your own homework and your own study. You ought to get the book by Henry Morris called The Genesis Record. It's only about that thick, but you can fast forward to Genesis chapter 6. He does a great treaty of work. He's not only a scientist, he was a great theologian, great expositor. And then you can go back to about 1835 and read the dissertation, The Nephilim by Robert Govey. Charles Spurgeon, he was one of Charles Spurgeon's favorite Bible teachers. Genesis chapter 6, we studied this, raised a lot of eyebrows, but there's no way around it. And this is what generated, by the way, controversy, not only among congregants, but among other pastors. But I want to remind you, I am not practicing right now negative church growth tactics. I'm giving you the truth. And people, pastors, theologians will squirm and fight and go through incredible gyrations to try to explain this away. Friends, I want you to know I've read them all. Over the last 45 years, I've read them all. There's no other way to put it. Now, it came to pass when men, humans, mankind began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit, notice God's response, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. That's it. Whatever happened between these sons of God and the daughters of men caused God to say, that's it, time's up. I'm going to wipe this thing clean.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his special message called In the Days of Deception, Part 3. Thanks for listening in today, and our prayer is that you've come to know Jesus personally and that you are indeed eagerly awaiting the Lord's return. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
What is the ultimate point and purpose of Bible prophecy? Is it to scare us or prepare us?
There's a special book by the prophecy pros, Jeff Kinley and Tom Hampston, that breaks it all down and makes it real simple, answering questions like, why are there different interpretations of prophetic Bible scriptures? How do we know which is correct? When it comes to symbolic prophecies, how do we decide to interpret them literally or metaphorically? The Prophecy Pros Illustrated Guide to Tough Questions About the End Times simplifies difficult and confusing aspects of last day's prophecy using easy-to-understand language, diagrams, images, and statistics. If you've ever been unsure about the purpose, the context, or timeline of end times prophecy, let the Prophecy Pros put your mind at ease with this practical and informative guide. A copy of the Prophecy Pros Illustrated Guide to Tough Questions About the End Times will be sent to you when you donate to the Ministry of Real Life today. Get your copy at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.